Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We've had numerous conversations on this show about opioids and the opioid addiction crisis in this country. But today, we want to talk about a specific situation. What happens when someone in addiction recovery from heroin is prescribed opioid painkillers? Well, that's what happened to Seth Mnookin. He's the co-director of the MIT graduate program in science writing, and he's a former heroin addict. Now, he'd been sober since 1997, but a recent surgery from kidney stones, or four kidney stones, left him dreading what he knew would come next, a prescription of opioid painkillers. Seth wrote about his experience in a piece for Stat News, and he joins us now in the studio to talk about what happened. Seth Mnookin, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you. Also with us is Dr. Sarah Wakeman. She's the medical director for substance abuse disorders at Massachusetts General Hospital. Dr. Wakeman, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
So, Seth, tell us what happened. You were at MGH, right, for this surgery?
Yes. Yeah, I was actually on a plane and all of a sudden felt like I was dying, was struck with kidney stones and was taken to the emergency room to MGH. And it was clear right away that I was going to need fairly powerful painkillers. I had not gone through a surgery since I had gotten sober. And so that was something that I knew would someday arise for me.
So, I mean, but you were in the emergency room, you said?
Yes.
Okay, yep. Okay. So obviously it's a very tense situation.
Yes.
Lots of activity, lots of people trying to help. At what point, and you're obviously in a great deal of pain, so
right.
At what point in time were you able to communicate to your caregivers
sure, yeah.
that you had a concern?
So as soon as I stopped screaming, essentially, so after the initial pain was treated and we started to talk about the options, so probably about, I got to the ER around 11:30, so probably 2 or 3 in the morning when we started to talk about what the options were moving forward. When we were going over my past medical history, I just said I have a substance use disorder and am in remission for that.
Okay. So, but how clear were you about what your concern was? Because I'm trying to figure out like what,
sure.
you know, what is it that a patient can or should say in a situation like that?
So that was essentially all I said,
okay.
that I have a substance use disorder. I said that to multiple people. I did not say, and therefore my concerns are X, Y, and Z. And that is possibly something that I should have been more explicit about. I assumed that having said that, it would be clear why I was saying that and what my concerns were.
You assumed that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, so what happened then? I mean, you were given eventually a prescription.
Yes. And again, I mean, one thing I want to stress is that I don't think anyone would argue that I should not have been given the prescription. This was by far and away the most excruciating thing I'd ever been through. So I was given a prescription after I had surgery on Monday and was given a prescription then. What my doctor did was only gave me prescriptions for several days at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So protocol oftentimes is give a patient a week's worth to start with. And in fact, that's now what's I think mandated in most circumstances by the new Massachusetts law. And I was only given several days at a time. And then over the next week or 10 days, I got several more prescriptions, each for a couple of days at a time. And so in total, I was on opioids for about 2 weeks.
Okay. Dr. Wakeman, I'm going to get to you in just a second.
Yeah, no problem.
But there's a couple of key questions I have for Seth. So you took the prescription.
Yes.
And had you taken an opioid-based painkiller beforehand?
No. The last time I had any opioids in my system was in 1997.
Okay. And so what was your body's reaction?
So I actually was surprised. I mean, it helped with the pain, but I was not getting high at all. I didn't feel impaired. Neither my wife nor my colleagues thought that I was impaired. I took some steps, like I gave them to my wife to give to me. So she would only give me 2 every 4 to 6 hours. And ideally, I wouldn't be taking that much. But I didn't, there wasn't anything that I noticed. My body wasn't like, oh, this is what, I remember this. The things that I noticed were that I was itchy, which is something mm-hmm. that happened a lot. But I didn't notice the sort of high-like effect.
Were you concerned nevertheless?
I wasn't really concerned during that time because I felt like I was taking all the steps. You know, I was giving them to my wife. I wasn't taking more than were prescribed, and I was trying to take less. And so I was not really concerned about that. What caught me unaware was then when I stopped after 2 weeks, when I could stop them, I then had a couple of days, a day and a half of withdrawal symptoms. And that was something I was completely unprepared for just because I had no sense that that could occur that quickly. I assumed that it would take longer for that type of – any type of physical dependence to kick in.
Yeah. So one more thing, because help me understand you did write in your article for Stat that there was a point in which you were frustrated and you felt that you were trying to communicate things to hospital staff that you didn't feel were heard appropriately. Is that right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah. Well, there was so my wife also asked the surgeon after my surgery if she knew that I had a substance use disorder. And the surgeon at that moment said no. I think that the surgeon misspoke and she had been aware, but as she explained it to me later, she's focused on that point at my aftercare and my well-being. She had discussed this with her surgical team before surgery. But yeah, that was something that concerned us a little bit. And the other thing, I guess, that concerned me was and this is something that I thought about more after the fact, but I was surprised that there was not some discussion about the proper way to use opioids. Uh-huh. And I think I took all the right steps, but I was thinking of it more from the perspective of someone who comes in and is not married or does not give them to their wife or spouse. What are they going to do? And then when I realized after 2 weeks that I felt signs of physical dependence, that was when I really started to think of, you know, we need some more steps here.
So Dr. Wakeman, thank you so much for being so patient and for being here with us, because this is exactly the reason why we're delighted to have you as part of this conversation. Because as more and more as we talk more and more openly about substance abuse disorders and people's challenges with them, there are more and more places in life where there are potential, you know, points of weakness and weakness not for the person, but systematically. And so I'm wondering, ideally, you know, for someone who's in a situation like Seth and they're in the hospital for an issue that's totally unrelated to this other thing, like what should they be doing? How should they be advocating, and what should a hospital's protocol be?
Yeah, so first, thanks for having me. And I think, you know, Seth was very brave and courageous, actually, in being so forthcoming about his history of a substance use disorder. Unfortunately, there still is a lot of stigma. And so I have a lot of patients who don't always feel comfortable volunteering that information. And so, as he points out, he was a person in long-term recovery and a person who felt sort of comfortable sharing that information. And so so I think he should be congratulated for that, and also sort of addresses the broader issues of stigma in our system.
Well, let me just jump in here because, I have some very practical questions. Like, say any person were going to the ER at MGH. I mean, in the some point in time, someone takes your history, right? Mm-hmm. Do you specifically ask patients now about substance abuse?
So, you know, it's a funny time right now. So the hospital has taken on addiction really as its key clinical priority since 2014 and has committed a huge amount of support and resource to developing really a system-wide level of care for patients with active substance use disorder. And more recently, since last fall, we've convened an opioid task force, which is really focused around this issue. So how do we both compassionately manage care for all patients, including patients in remission from a substance use disorder, and how do we safely prescribe opioids in a way that minimizes unnecessary exposure both to the patient and the community while addressing someone's pain? And so those guidelines are actually being rolled out later this month.
Right.
A part of that guideline is to screen every patient before you prescribe an opioid. So going forward, there are validated screening tools that include asking about a personal history of substance use disorder and a number of other questions that can help you decide sort of what is the risk to that individual patient and how can you tailor the treatment plan to them.
Well, so Seth, tell us a little more specifically about, you know, one or two of the additional measures that you thought or you think should be in place that, you know, based on your experience.
I think one of the challenges here is that when you're seeing a surgeon or when you're seeing your doctor, though they are not trained in addiction medicine, and that is a whole other specialty for a reason. I think we need to look at ways that this can be addressed without placing a huge burden on caregivers and care providers. But I think something as simple as an information sheet about what you can expect, about these are things that you should look out for, one of the things that surprised me is when I started feeling withdrawal symptoms, I didn't recognize them as that. Uh-huh. I was actually concerned that I had developed a secondary infection. So even something saying, after stopping use, you may experience agitation, sleeplessness, aches, some slight aches and pains. But more information, I think it would accomplish a couple of things. One, putting that on the table, but also, as Sarah talked about, removing some of the stigma and acknowledging that this is something that happens all the time. Opioids are powerful drugs, and it's easy to misuse them. And it's something that everyone in the system needs to be aware of.
Dr. Wakeman, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that is part of the approach that we're taking. I think that notion of kind of shared decision-making with a patient, that you tailor your plan to that individual patient, and someone in recovery from a substance use disorder has a different level of risk than someone who's never had it. Unfortunately, when you're first starting an opioid in someone, you have no idea what their individual risk is. We know that addiction is about 50% genetic, and we don't yet have the tools to sort of identify who's going to be at risk of developing an opioid use disorder after exposure. And so that's where that idea of carefully screening patients and then really sort of monitoring them with short prescriptions and close follow-up is so important.
I take Seth's point that there can be additional places in the process of a treatment process or a treatment plan to put some safeguards in place. But after your article came out, Seth, there's some people did feel they needed to push back a little because there are some physicians out there who feel like these additional, I don't want to call them that they object to the safeguards, but there's a concern that physicians are having their hands further tied, or that for people who genuinely need the prescriptions, that it's getting ever harder and the additional bureaucracy around it continues to make it harder. And I was just wondering what your reactions are to that.
I think it is crucial to acknowledge that the reason opioids are used in hospital and care settings is because they're oftentimes needed. And I certainly was not saying in the least that we should not use them or even that I should not have been given them. So I think that is a misinterpretation of the point that I was trying to make. And I also don't think that doctors should have additional burdens placed on them. What I'm talking about more is things that can be built into the system.
Yeah.
And I think this is an instance in which information goes a long way.
We just have a couple seconds, but
yeah,
Dr.
Sure.
Wakeman.
I would just say we're in this transition point of really recognizing and treating addiction as a chronic disease. And so in the same way that we address hypertension and diabetes and all of these other past medical histories as a part of the overall care plan, I think people like Seth speaking out are helping us in that process of moving towards addressing addiction the same way.
Well, Dr. Sarah Wakeman is Medical Director for Substance Use Disorders at Massachusetts General Hospital. Dr. Wakeman, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Seth Manoukian, co-director of MIT's graduate program in science writing and author of many books, including The Panic Virus. His article on his experience in the emergency room and with opioid painkillers, we've got it linked at radioboston.org. Seth, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.